What a blessing it is, everyone, that the Holy Spirit has brought us all here together this evening to celebrate and to begin our celebration of these most sacred holy days. I've been trying to find the word all day, but I haven't come up with it yet, and I guess I've ran out of time. But I'm mindful of the fact that this is our first, and the word is normal. That's what I came up with. This is our first normal Holy Week here at St. Mary's, really since 2019, believe it or not. 2020, of course, you watched from your homes on TV as Father Wolf and I bumbled around with a camera to celebrate the Lord's Mass, Lord's Supper here by ourselves. That was 2020. 2021, we had a Holy Week blizzard. We just opened up in time for maybe 80, 100 of you to come. 2022, we had another Holy Week blizzard, believe it or not. And last year, 2023, we were up north at the Our Lady of Victory Chapel, and some of you were elsewhere. And so it's really hard to believe that it's been since 2019 that we've been here in our beloved church and parish to celebrate the Paschal Triduum. And so it's a blessing for us to be here. I also think it's important to highlight that, of course, this Holy Thursday Mass is known as the Mass, the Lord's Supper. But this is our first Mass, Lord's Supper, our first Holy Thursday Mass on our newly consecrated altar that Bishop Kagan blessed and consecrated with Holy Chrism this past July 8th. And of course, we've had many, many Masses since then here at St. Mary's. Father Jake's had most of them. But we've had a lot of Masses since July 8th. And this is a special one because this is the Mass where the Lord instituted the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist. And so it's a special occasion for us here at our parish. Also, just want to highlight with our renovations here, we now have our altar repose right here in the sanctuary of the church, close to the Sacred Heart of Jesus statue at that side altar. And we know the long tradition at the end of the Holy Thursday Mass, as it was described before we began Mass this evening. But the tradition is after the distribution of Holy Communion, we leave one ciborium, one sacred vessel with the consecrated host with the Eucharist on the altar, which we then incense and process throughout the church, ending at what is known as this altar of repose with the Blessed Sacrament placed inside of the tabernacle. In this tradition, everyone goes back all the way really to the first Holy Thursday, the first Mass, when Jesus, after the Last Supper, took with him Peter, James, and John, and they crossed the Kidron Valley, leaving the city limits of Jerusalem, and they went to a place called the Mount of Olives. At that same time, Judas was scheming, doing his thing, preparing to hand Jesus over to the Romans and to the Jews. But during that time, Jesus took with him his closest three, Peter, James, and John. And while they saw him in his agony, he told them to stay there and pray, to watch, to remain, to stay. And we know the story because we've heard it last week at Mass that they fell asleep. They got a bit tired. It's easy for us to forget that I think they have four glasses of wine at the Passover meal, four different glasses, lots of dishes. But nonetheless, they were sleepy. They were tired. And they couldn't stay awake. And we're given a chance as disciples this evening to come and stay, remain, watch, and pray. And so I do hope that sometime between the end of Mass tonight and midnight, for those 5 hours or so, that you can come and pray in the presence of Jesus at this altar of repose. To guide you a little bit on that time of meditation, a great thing to do is to bring your Bible and to pray with the Last Supper Discourse from John chapters 13 through 17. John 13 through 17 is the Last Supper Discourse where Jesus is at the Last Supper giving his discourse. And we're invited to pray, stay, watch, remain, and that's one way to do so. We know that at the heart of Holy Week is what we're doing right now. At the heart of Holy Week are these 3 days, Holy Thursday, tomorrow, Good Friday, and then, of course, Easter. And if you've paid close attention to how our liturgy is put together, how each of these days flow from one to the next, it's not an accident that we begin this Mass by making the sign of the cross as we usually do, by singing the glory to God, by examining our conscience, by having our readings. But you'll notice at the end of Mass today, there's no final blessing. There's no dismissal. We go from Mass into the procession to the Mount of Olives, where we stay, watch, remain, and pray. And then we leave. And tomorrow, when you come back for Good Friday, we don't celebrate Mass tomorrow. The church fasts from Mass tomorrow. We celebrate the liturgy of the Lord's Passion. But you'll notice we begin that liturgy not with the sign of the cross, not with a greeting, not like we usually do. And we don't end with a blessing. And when you come back at the Easter Vigil on Saturday night, once again, we don't begin in the typical way with the sign of the cross, with a greeting. And the idea in the mind of the church is that what we're entering into in these 3 days is not three, but one. Because the Lord's saving mysteries are not isolated, you could say. We don't have his passion here, his death there, his resurrection there. But they flow from one to the next, and these are the paschal mysteries. These are the saving mysteries. And the church's liturgical structure reflects that theological belief about what Jesus is about to do for us again this year in these days. In this Mass, Lord's Supper, the theme, really, the context needed, comes to us always as it does from our readings. For us to understand the Mass, Lord's Supper, in its fullest way, it's important for us to have the context, the framework of the Jewish Passover. Now, we didn't grow up in Jewish families, most of us, some of us may have, but for the Jewish people, the Passover feast was the feast. In fact, every Jew was to go to Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of Passover. And the Feast of Passover and the Passover meal was celebrated in the city limits of Jerusalem. That's why Jesus was there. He had been there many times his entire childhood. But this would be a unique sort of Passover for him. And we heard the details of the Passover of the Jewish people from Exodus chapter 12. It is always a commemoration of their time in Egypt as slaves. The Passover was meant to remind them that they were once slaves. They were once not a free people. They were once enslaved to a power way more, way bigger, way stronger than them. And the Passover feast was meant to commemorate and to remind them of their heritage, where they had been, and where God had brought them. And there's a lot of specific details of the Jewish Passover, isn't there? A lamb, unblemished, 1 year old. And for the Jewish people, it would be brought to the temple in Jerusalem. They would bring a lamb, and they would give it to the priest. And the priest would take the lamb and make sure that it was up to snuff. He would inspect it to make sure that it was not a runt, that it was unblemished. And they would take the Passover lamb, it would be slaughtered, and they would take the blood and sprinkle it on the altar in the temple in Jerusalem. They would take the blood of the lamb and sprinkle an altar. And then this dead lamb would be given back to the family. Maybe two families, three families would team up, and they'd bring it home, where they would then roast the lamb and cook it and make it for their meal, along with bread, along with bitter herbs, along with wine, along with other Mediterranean foods. And they would then celebrate the Passover, once again commemorating their time as slaves in Egypt. And the structure of the Passover meal, everyone, had a very formal structure to it. It would begin with a blessing from the head of the household. He would lead them in prayer. They would then have ceremonial food, ceremonial wine, as I mentioned. They would retell the story of the Exodus. They would sing psalms. They would sing hymns. It was a very liturgical type of meal, late at night. But one little known fact of the Passover meal is that the head of the household, the leader of the home, would take different elements of the meal, and he would speak words of interpretation over those elements. So he would take the lamb and speak words of interpretation over the lamb as to what this signifies, what it means. They would take the herbs, they would take the elements of the meal and speak words over them of interpretation, tying it back to their time in Egypt. That means, everyone, when Jesus at the Passover, at the Last Supper with his 12 and took bread and spoke, that was nothing unusual. That was totally 100% in the Jewish custom and tradition, to speak words of interpretation over the elements of the Passover meal, no surprises whatsoever. But what Jesus said when he took bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body given up for you," was something that had never been said. And the one who was saying it was the Word made flesh, God himself, in the person of Jesus of Nazareth, speaking words of interpretation over the bread, making the Eucharist present for the first time, and then taking the cup of wine and speaking words, saying, "This is my blood, the blood of the new covenant." Now, what Jesus then did the next day is he would take his body and it would be broken, not on a table, but on a cross. So the Eucharist was, of course, making himself present for us to this day, but it was also pointing to what he would do the next. And the blood of the covenant, for the Jewish people, every single covenant they had from Moses to Abraham, all the covenants, they would take blood and they would sprinkle it on the altar. But his blood is a new kind of blood, a blood of a new and eternal and everlasting covenant that would also then be shed, not on a table or in a cup, but on a cross. And so we have all of this rich history. We have all this rich understanding of what Jesus did at the Passover meal by instituting the Eucharist, by giving us his body and blood, pointing to his crucifixion and making himself present under the hidden form of bread and wine, body, blood, soul, divinity, to this very moment. The final words matter. His final act in his public ministry mattered, making himself present. And our opportunity here this evening, at the beginning of these holy days, is to recognize the gift that we've been given. Recognize the fact from all eternity God has been preparing to feed us with his body and blood in our time of need, in a time of healing, for strengthening, for blessing. And the Eucharist is still the great treasure of the church to this day. And we give thanks to God. We give thanks to God that he gave us the Eucharist and that he gave himself up for the salvation of the world on the cross, which we'll then venerate tomorrow.